We'll find out, bud. It ain't working. It ain't recording. Good news. Tomorrow we may not have a podcast because we got more technical problems here. World famous Phil Henry Show.
You won't have a podcast. People are going to be very upset.
It's the way it goes, man, because I got to get some things working around here. You know, we got to get this Audacity record feature. I had WaveCart for the longest time, and for some reason, if you have a studio, you're always in danger of something going wrong. So we were going to have you sing in Sleigh Ride, Margaret, but we can't do that because we don't have the music.
Well, I can give people the general idea of what I was doing. I don't necessarily need the music, although it would be better.
Yes, it would be better. I'll tell you what, we can play it live, and I think we do have it live, but it just, I don't know.
Well, why not do that? Because what I wanted people to know, I've gotten an awful lot of people, this is the holiday season, and may I?
Yeah, go ahead.
While Phil dials that up, as we say in the industry, dialing, oh my God, what happened to her?
That's investigation down to discovery.
I know that.
Never mind what's on TV.
Sorry. She
looked totally normal to me.
Never mind what's on TV. You're watching it?
Go ahead.
So anyway, I was at this gig this weekend, and I was singing at a place called Mental Mike's. It's called Mental Mike's because Mike, he's a very extreme man. Mike Balpole is his name, but he is going into a psychiatric center now for good because he's scaring people. But we had a big send-off for him on the weekend, and it involved me singing. I did a couple of sets. I did my anti-Christmas set.
Now, people should understand you're an atheist, right?
Yes, I'm an atheist, but it doesn't mean that I don't like Christmas. I love Christmas. But my anti-Christmas set was because of these dumps that Frank has been booking me into. That's a completely beside. I don't want to go into that right now.
We don't have time to go into that, but Frank and you have had an issue about some of these clubs that he's been booking you into. I understand that. You went and did this gig at Mike's this weekend as a part of a send-off, but you also were doing some improv lyrically? Improv lyrics?
Yes, this is something that I invented. You've heard of improvising melodies. I improvise lyrics. Why? Because lyrics, at the end of the day, are important, but they're not that important. The melody is the most important thing. And sometimes the lyrics of a song are disturbed. Phil was using the term disturbing. I think, and I know that he was joking, but I think the lyrics to certain songs can be very, very disturbing.
No, talk about Sleigh Ride, though.
Yes, I know I'm talking about Sleigh Ride.
By the way, where is General Shaw?
Yeah, oh, yeah, coming in a few minutes.
The whole hour the guy hasn't been here.
Oh, we didn't tell you?
No.
Now, he's coming in a few minutes. He was doing some, he's finishing, he builds ships in bottles.
He was finishing a ship in a bottle?
Yeah.
Why was that so important?
Think there's going to be a ship in a bottle demonstration or something? They're going to teach people how. He is practicing.
Well, don't laugh, Phil, until, you know, don't knock until you've tried it.
Yeah, well, okay. I mean, I'm not knocking the guy building ships in a bottle. I'd like to be told, if you don't mind.
We thought you knew. You knew it. Didn't you know?
I didn't know that he was taking the night off.
No. Didn't you know that he built ships in a bottle?
No, I didn't know he built ships. What difference does it make if I knew that he built ships in a bottle?
Well, then you'd know he'd be demonstrating the... You don't.
Look at guys, don't make assumptions because you think that I knew that he was building ships in a bottle, and so therefore, just don't do it, okay? All right, now, Margaret, we have the music to Sleigh Ride, and you have the lyrics to Sleigh Ride, but you don't really need the lyrics to Sleigh Ride, right?
No, I really don't.
The hell is that?
Just some bongos.
Turn the bongos off, will you?
Thought you wanted bongo music.
Why would I want bongo music?
It's Christmas.
Why would we want bongo music during Christmas?
As Phil?
As Phil? You mean as filler music?
No.
No, guys. If you wanted to put in some filler music, put in some holiday music.
Well, yeah, Sleigh Ride.
Not Sleigh Ride, because we're about to play Sleigh Ride. Do a different Sleigh Ride. Do a different song. Bongo music?
Yeah, it's a promo. Here's a Beatniks and More on Ultra Lounge.
Yeah, that's great, guys. Hey, listen, let's do some film music during the holiday season. Beatniks and More on the Ultra Lounge series, and you're playing bongo music. No. All right, Margie, you ready?
Yeah, my name isn't Markie.
Now, Margaret, are you ready?
I'm ready now, yes.
Here is Margaret Gray and an example of the improvisational effort lyrically.
Yes. And you can do this. Here we go. Just hear the sleigh bells ringing, ding, 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 ding. Come on, it's lovely. Wait a minute, turn that off for a minute, bud. What garbage can did you pull this out of?
Off of YouTube.
Well, you can find the can you found that in, stick it back in the can, and stick it back on the street. I don't want it.
Well, what do you want?
I want something different.
Why?
Because it starts weird.
Oh, come on, Margaret, we don't have the time, all right?
Don't yell at me. Frank, you...
Oh, here she is.
Right, we didn't mean to yell at you, but we don't have time. Here's the song. It's fine. Here, listen to it. Give it one run through.
Here it is. Dun, dun, dun.
I know how to do it.
Oh, see, it has a little bit of a couple of bars there.
Well, that is absolutely asinine. The guy that wrote that is ass on steroids, I'll tell you that.
Margaret Gray, ladies and gentlemen.
The guy that wrote this song is some kind of a chump. Just hear those sleigh bells ring, ding, 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 ding. Come on, it's lovely weather, ding, 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 ding. Our faces nice and cozy, looks real frozen to me. Come on, it's lovely weather to get together with me. Giddy up, giddy up, giddy up, let's go. It's out in the snow. Oh, what's that laying in the snow? Giddy up, giddy up, giddy up. Oh, look, it looks like Dad. He got really drunk and fell down in the snow. Oh, well, I...
All right, now hold on.
I'm not done yet. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Well, forget it now. You interrupted me.
Hold on, I just want to know something.
Hold on, I just want to know something. Here comes the controlling nature of Phil Henry. Go ahead, Phil. What do you want to know?
Well, you're improvising.
No, I'm reading it from a lyric. Yes, I'm improvising.
Can't you tell, Mr. Henry?
All right, what's the whole thing about, what's that laying in the snow, and Dad got drunk and fell down in the snow?
It's, no one is listening to it, Phil. Do you understand?
Mr. Henry, the whole idea, when people singing Get Together with a Sleigh Ride Together on You, that's all the part they remember. Let's get together with a sleigh ride together on you.
On you, huh?
It doesn't matter, Phil. When people hear that music, they go, oh, my God, it's the lovely Christmas music. And they go, oh, listen to that. No one's listening to the lyrics that closely. Lyrics, Phil, are a throwaway in many instances, especially Christmas music, which people will say, oh, my God, I love this song. By the time you get to any of the serious lyrics, people have had, they're on their fourth eggnog. They don't know. They don't know from a sleigh ride. Believe me when I tell you. And one other thing. When's the last time you saw anyone go on a sleigh ride? So what we're talking about is a custom that people are completely unfamiliar with. They don't know a thing about it.
But you're still saying there's a guy laying in the snow.
No one, they're just hearing the word snow.
Yeah, just hearing, there's in the snow. And then I'm going, and I shot a guy and he fell down in the snow.
Well, but why would you chance it and say, I shot a guy and he fell down in the snow?
Well, it just, whatever comes to mind, that's all. It's you could say that. You could say, I went, frankly, and I wouldn't do this, Phil, but... frankly, you could say, and we went out and we fornicated in the snow. And
well, if you wouldn't do that, why wouldn't you do that?
Don't point your finger at me like that, Phil. It's very...
I'm sorry, but why wouldn't you do that?
Because, obviously, I've got a very natural editing instinct that even if no one was listening to something like that, I still wouldn't do that. And why is that? Because I'm a lady, Phil. I'm a lady. Do you know what that is?
Yes, my...
No, I don't think you do. Remember that beautiful song by the Lovin's Book? She's a lady, and I chanced to meet her as I frolicked down the lane.
What?
Would you never mind? You know that song?
Yeah, I remember that song. Yeah, all right.
I remember that song. Yeah. Boy, I'll tell you, you can take him out of the... You can take Phil Henry out of the country, but can you really take the hillbilly out of the...
All right, we're going to come back and do this. We have to take a break.
Right, because the first 15 minutes of this hour was carved up beyond recognition by Mr. Henry because he's, oh, excuse me.
Margaret, I got to figure out what it is you're doing, okay? Do you mind?
I told you what I was going to do. So the song goes do 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 do, and anyone can do it. Now I did this on Saturday night there at Mental Mike's. We had a ball.
Well, some of the set lists that you did at Mental Mike's. What about this one? Rudolph at 100 yards. What's that about?
Oh, with a high power scope, probably a scope rifle.
Yeah,
with a scope rifle. See, that's what I'm talking about.
No, that's not what I'm talking about. You jackball, you. I'm not talking about those. Those are songs. What are you doing?
Getting up and leaving.
Oh, no, you're not.
Well, then, hey, you don't like that, do you?
So you're threatening me with getting up and leaving that I'll have to host the show with these two, which I just assume swallow hemlock now.
Who?
Not who.
Hey, watch it.
Eat his ass.
All right, we'll take a break here on the Phil Hendry Show and be right back. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445, and like that, you know.
I'm going to practice this, folks, so. I am Rosie, are you? Oh, why would you play? I told you.
Hold on. Welcome back, world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Why would you play this song?
It's a marshmallow world.
Do do. What do you think?
No, I don't. I told you about Dean Martin.
What time did he grab some?
It's time for play.
Excuse me, when you're talking about me, would you turn that down, please?
All right, but I'm not going to turn it off.
He grabbed my.
He grabbed
a part of my butt at a party, yes.
What's that mean?
I'm not going to discuss it. I'm certainly not going to discuss it. You don't expect me, Phil, to discuss it with him in the room, do you?
Bud?
Him and Robert.
Well,
he grabbed a part of my ass at a party.
All right, I'm sorry to hear that, but it doesn't mean we don't play Dean Martin music?
Not when I'm in the room. No, you don't.
Well, here it is. You're not going to get up and leave?
No, because I've got to finish this sleigh ride mess. I've got to somehow do something with this sleigh ride segment and bring it back to life because we have beaten it almost to death.
In winter, it's a marshmallow day.
God, Margaret.
Turn that filth off.
Margaret, you've got the reputation of Dean Martin that you're mucking with, okay?
Well, I'm so sorry. Dean Martin was a wonderful man. We were at a party one night, Frank and I. Frank called Dean over. He said, Dino, come here. I want you to meet the little lady. He comes over, breathing. It wasn't booze. You know that he didn't really drink. That was an act, right?
On TV, I knew that. Yeah, I didn't know that in real life.
Oh, in real life. Because he's breathing. It smelled to me like it was lemonade, some kind of lemonade mixed with 7-Up. I think it was an Arnold Palmer, and that's what he was drinking. But he was acting like he was drunk.
Dean Martin wasn't really drunk.
No, he wasn't really drunk. He's drinking an Arnold Palmer, but he's acting like he's hammered. And I said, Dean, I know you're not drinking. He said, that's right. I said, so why are you acting? He said, so it gives me an excuse to do this. And he reached over and grabbed, I'd say, a good 1/4 of the left cheek. What are you laughing at? Forget it.
Bud, would you shut up?
All right.
He grabbed 1/4 of the left cheek. If they're going to laugh, I'm not going to be in this room.
Would you guys?
Sorry.
He grabbed about 1/8 to 1 full quarter of the left.
All right, get out of here, you guys.
That's funny.
Get out of here. Then you can come back in.
What, can we come back in after she says left ass cheek?
Yes.
Did you hear that?
Yes, I heard it. I'm sorry.
He grabbed 1/8 to 1. I'm not sure. It could have been 1/8 to 1/3.
Margaret, would you just, you know.
What's your problem?
1/8 to 1/3? Are you kidding? Did he grab your ass?
Well, you know what? If you want to spit it out like that, you want to spill it all over the dock like the little Kintner boy, go ahead.
Did say it.
No, I did not.
I'm sorry to hear that you had that experience with Dean Martin. I don't know what to say. What did Frank do?
Laughed. The same as you guys.
I'm very sorry. That's not nice. And what do you want me to do? I mean, but it's, I still, I got to tell you, it's, you know.
Well, Phil, you were, over the weekend, you were talking about the bad things that people do. Weren't you talking about Roger Waters and the attitude that he has about Israel and what a scumbag he is and what a low-lying, dirty, filthy, you know what you said.
I didn't say, I said what I said, yeah. But I also said that I never really did like that guy's music. I like Pink Floyd, but I never really, I could care less whether Roger Waters is with Pink Floyd. Doesn't matter to me at all.
Well, that makes you pretty stupid, I'm sorry, darling, to say that, because everyone knows that Roger Waters was the genius, was the driving force behind the beauty and the drama that's Pink Floyd.
Did it again, Mr. Henry.
Yeah, you're doing it again, that whole dramatic, ugh.
What?
You're doing that slack jaw of the void. You know, you're doing that whole dramatic Pink Floyd.
Are you aware of what Pink Floyd meant to music?
Oh, God. All right. So, thank you very much, Margaret, for the rendition of We're All Done With That.
No, I have one more. I just want people to know that you can use any lyric. You don't want it to be as... You don't want it to be scary and frightening and ugly, but make it something that's light and lilting but nondescript. Like this. Just hear the sleigh bells ringing, oh, they're dinging too. Ding, 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 ling, 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 ling. Oh, ding, 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 dong, ding, dong. Ding, dong, ding, dong, kong, long, long. What are you laughing at?
Nothing.
The snow. Giddy up, giddy up, giddy up, let's eat. That's horse meat ahead. We are hungry like the poor people are. When we're done with the sleigh ride, we'll carve up that horse. Turn it off. Never mind.
Well, why don't you think people are going to laugh at something like that?
You're not supposed to be listening to the lyrics.
If we get hungry like the poor people are, let's carve up that horse.
And you find that funny?
Yeah, it's hysterical.
Yes, we find it funny.
With poor people starving.
So I just want to be clear. Sleigh ride, nobody listens to the lyrics. You're making them up because it's improv, because it's really about the music. And yet when you do improv the lyrics about let's carve up the horse and eat it after we're done.
I'm not going to sit here and be mocked and be laughed at while I have other things to do. I've got toilet duties.
Well, how did I know that?
That's right, Phil. Go ahead and make fun of me because I've got the runs.
That toilet paper.
I know.
All right. Thank you very much, Margaret, for that. So that's called improv lyric, and it's General. You're here. Hey,
Phil. I apologize to everyone. I'm very sorry. I was. Did Bud tell you?
He said you're in a boat, ship in a bottle thing.
Yes, that's right. The ship in the bottle competition is tomorrow, and that's going to be at the Newport Harbor. And I was going to go down. I'm going down with Bill Fleming and Jack Fishall, and we build ships in the bottle, and we're going to go down there and give the old ladies a lesson in how to do it.
The old ladies?
Yes. There's a group of elderly women, and they're from the Laguna Beach, some old lady club. I don't know. But they wanted us to demonstrate how to, well, I always want to be careful.
You go ahead, General. It's okay. I already talked to him about it, Phil.
Okay.
Well, I'm talking about a bunch of old women. We're going to show them how to stick it in a bottle.
Okay, the ships.
Yes, that's right. But I wanted to be careful.
Sorry, General. I mean, we're not... It's okay.
Well, I heard the segment with Margaret Gray, and I didn't want to run afoul of standards.
No, it's fine. So you're going to show the old ladies how to build a ship in a bottle.
Yeah, that is exactly right. Myself, Bill Fleming, and Jack Fishall. And we'll go down. The old ladies are serving us lunch, and they're very excited. And so I was practicing, putting it into... I was with Patsy, and she and I were practicing putting it in...
The ship in a bottle!
Yes, but I don't want to run afoul of your standards and practices.
But look, General, I have no standards and practices.
So I gathered.
Well, that's pretty, pretty cold, man.
I'm just kidding around.
There's no standards and practices per se. I understand what you're talking about, a ship in a bottle. Don't worry if you have to say stick it in. You know, you guys, everybody around here, you're getting a little too gun-shy, okay?
Yeah, you're always talking about on an FCC.
No, but you don't doesn't mean you can't say the word stick it in, okay? If you're building a bottle...
All right, so Patty and I were practicing putting it in.
Putting what in?
Well, then you are finding fault.
General, what I'm saying is, if you're at home and you're practicing making ships in a bottle, I understand that. And if you're practicing making ships in a bottle with your wife, I certainly understand that. But when you sit there and you say something like, Patty and I were at home sticking it in, you know, you're not...
Well, this is why I'm asking you the question, for God's sake.
All right. We'll be right back. Let me talk to you during the break. World famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. A very pleasant Monday evening to you.
I know men who cheat you lie. I know some...
Patty and I would put it in, and then Patty...
World famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com.
I would love to do an album of Lynyrd Skynyrd music.
Yeah, do this. This is rock and roll.
Excuse me, but I was singing rock and roll, bud, before you were a rotten idea in someone's mind.
Whiskey bottle.
All right.
All right.
Oak tree, you're in my way. You know what that's about, right?
Yeah, driving into an oak tree.
Well, don't act as if it's some... Jeez, Phil.
That's real poetry, Mr. Henry.
Now, hold on. Would you turn the jungle down? Who is this?
Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Oh, I remember them. Yes, they're a great group, Margaret.
I didn't say they weren't.
Well, what do you mean he ran into an oak tree?
Well, the song is about doing too many drugs and running into an oak tree.
The song is about doing too many drugs, and in the beginning...
Oh, so he says, oak tree, you're in my way.
Yeah, and you got to be pretty hammered to be talking to an oak tree, wouldn't you?
I would think so, yes.
Well, don't minimize... Yes, but you're making it sound stupid. Oak tree, you're in my way. It's very dramatic, Phil. Whiskey bottles... And brand new cars, oak tree, you're in my way.
God! Oh!
What happened to him?
General, you all right?
Oh, man. General, you all right? Get a water. Oh.
What happened to him?
What? How would I know, Phil?
General, come here.
I'm all right. I got dizzy. The voice, yeah.
Put him, just lay him on the floor. Lay him on the floor.
No, don't lay me on the floor. I'm dizzy. I got the spins. Oh, okay, better.
You okay?
Yeah, Margaret, your voice pierced right through my skull and gave me vertigo.
Well, then you need to go to a doctor and have a CAT scan, because I hit a pure C note there.
No, you did not. When I heard that note, it went right through my skull as if Hannibal Lecter... Hannibal Lecter, did you see the scene where Hannibal Lecter cut into Ray Liotta's head? That's what I felt as if you were Hannibal Lecter, I was Ray Liotta, and Phil was the director of the film, laughing at us as...
All right, will you forget it?
Well, it wasn't very pleasant.
I find that to be very insulting. I'm a professional singer.
Yes, yeah, so I've been told.
Margaret, I think you're a great singer.
Well, the point that I'm saying is... It's dramatic. It's very dramatic. And when you're talking about the drug problems that rock and roll people have, and the different other singers, even people that sing jazz have had, you name it, they could be...
What about opera singers and stuff?
Opera singers, I don't know, but I'll bet you anything opera singers have heroin problems, crack.
Crack?
Yes, crack cocaine.
Opera singers?
Yeah, not just crack cocaine. Methamphetamine. I think opera singers and people that sing for the New York City Opera are probably down in some place in upstate New York where the last vestiges of the Jackson Whites live, and they're scoring that disgusting powder.
And they're snorting it off a hunting knife.
Yes.
Well, I doubt that, seriously.
Oh, well, Phil, you know then, huh?
And do you? Who do you know? Don't tell me, because all you do is slander somebody.
I beg your pardon.
Who do you know in the Metropolitan Opera that is smoking methamphetamine?
Wouldn't you like to know?
Yes, I would. Yes, and the police would, too.
No, you wouldn't tell anybody. No, I'm not.
if you know somebody that's breaking the law like that, you should let everyone know.
I'm just saying, as an example, whiskey bottles and brand new cars. It's dramatic. That's what I'm trying to say, General.
I understand it's dramatic, but you don't have to harm my skull and create... You've given me epilepsy. I'll probably have fits for the rest of my life.
Why say that?
I believe she's given me a lesion, a brain lesion from that caterwauling.
You know, General, if it wasn't for the fact that you're an old man, I'd be Clint Eastwood walking up to that guy and saying, you're going to need 5 coffins.
5?
Yes. You, Bud, Robert, the General, and me, because I'd kill myself afterwards.
You know, anybody tuning into this show would be absolutely correct in calling the police and just having all of us thrown in for a 72-hour evaluation. That's how weird you sound.
Oh, it's all me.
Yes, all of us would be thrown in because you are talking like a weird ass. All right, folks.
Wait a minute. I'm not done. Whiskey bottles and brand new cars. This is the very dramatic thing. Whiskey bottles and brand new cars. Oak tree, you're in my way. Hold on for a minute.
You didn't do it right.
Hold on for a minute. Oak tree, you're in my way. What'd you think of that?
That was just great.
Forget it.
Margaret, let me go with you because I want to make a... I brought fixings for Arnold Palmer's.
Oh, good.
That's really interesting. A minute ago, the guy is laying on the floor fearing he has epilepsy, and now he's making Arnold Palmer's.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
All right, world famous... All right, yeah, okay, cool. World famous Phil Hendry show. Ray singer... I was going to say country singer. Ray singer. Country singer Ray Price has passed on at the age of 87. Now, Ray Price, I remember, because when I first started in radio back in 73, I was on a what was in those days called a middle-of-the-road station. So we played everything from light rock. So we played, like, Elton John all the way over to, we even played at that time, some instrumentals by Montavani and sort of mainstream country music, and Ray Price was one of them. But Ray Price, at the very height of his fame, was singing on The Tonight Show and entertaining all kinds of people, singing for presidents. He was 87 years of age. He was a pioneer of Texas honky-tonk music, who later applied his rich baritone to lushly arranged ballads of pop crossover hits. He died in Mount Pleasant, Texas, at the age of 87. The announcement came a day after a family member erroneously announced the singer, who had been battling pancreatic cancer, had died. So they'd made a... and, you know, on Sunday...
Yeah, there were a lot of people that died on Sunday. Yeah, the one guy, Roger Waters, died, right?
No, Roger Waters didn't die.
Well, he might as well have died.
Well, you just... No, he didn't die. Roger Waters... That's a whole other thing.
What'd he do?
Roger Waters said something, we'll get to it. The people at Peter O'Toole, man, that bummed me out. You know, I got bummed out. Peter O'Toole was great. He was just one of my favorites. And then Tom Laughlin. Now, Tom Laughlin was an interesting guy because at the time that the Billy Jack movies came out, Tom Laughlin's reputation as a filmmaker among the critics was almost non-existent. When they got a look at Billy Jack and The Legend of Billy, all these movies that he did, you know, all those movies that inspired in many ways the Little Guy Against the System movie. I'm not saying that it was the only inspiration, but they, you know, Billy Jack was a Vietnam vet. The character's a Vietnam veteran who is part Native American, and he comes home to his village, I think, or because I, to be honest with you, never saw the movies. I just know them by name and by reputation.
Well, why didn't you go see them?
Because I wasn't interested in them. I mean, I was probably one of those people who was a little too too interested in going to see Easy Rider, you know.
Well, was Easy Rider a more popular film?
No, I would say the Billy Jack movies were more popular. And that was the thing that he was trying to say to these critics. He was saying to them, you don't treat us with any respect. You don't talk about
me with any respect. You don't talk about our movie. And yet our movie is seen by far more people than the movies that you like. You know, our movies, our Billy Jack movies, are kicking ass. They did. They made a lot of money with those flicks. And one of the reasons why they made a lot of money is that Mr. Laughlin, Tom Laughlin, the producer, as well as I think the director and the star, he mounted a kind of marketing campaigns that had never been seen before. They were the saturation campaigns of TV spots in the markets where the film was opening. So if the movie was opening in Kansas City or if the movie was opening in New York, they did all kinds of TV buys in Kansas City and New York. Or on the very day that the movie opened, they would have huge buys. Now, today, that stuff is absolutely by the book ordinary. We don't think anything of it. We don't, because it had been pioneered all those many years ago, 40-plus years ago, by this man, Tom Laughlin. He's the guy.
So Tom Laughlin's the one that started all of these media buys on the day of, etc.
Yes.
Why didn't I know that?
Did you think you're better than him?
What are you talking? You know, some days, Bud, you're just asking for it. You really are. You really, really want the $300 worth. I'm trying to ignore you today, but today you want it. You need it. You need me on that wall. You want me on that wall.
Right, will you knock it off?
Yeah.
Knock it off. So Tom Laughlin was the guy, and that precipitated a new move in Hollywood toward a much more media-savvy attitude toward films. The 70s was the beginning of an entirely new era in movie making in Hollywood. The old movie stars were passing on and moving out of prominence. The Kirk Douglases, the Richard Widmarks, the Burt Lancasters, all of those guys had seen their day. And now came the Jack Nicholsons, the Robert De Niros, and later on the Meryl Streeps. And this was a whole new era in movie making. And with it came this new kind of marketing. We saw these ad buys. It was an event. A movie became an event, and it was an event that they would marry with television. You know, I remember going to see The Exorcist, and I saw The Exorcist in West L.A., and I saw it in Westwood Village, as a matter of fact, and I saw it at the Bruin, which is that theater off of the campus at UCLA. And it was the biggest crowd I'd ever seen in my life to go to see a movie. I mean, the line was around the block, man.
Now, how many shows did they have at the Bruin? I remember the Bruin very well.
What's a Bruin?
That's the name of the theater near UCLA.
Yeah, well, what is it?
It's a bear. Didn't we already talk about this?
Oh, these ass. You guys asked that question once before.
He never answered what a Bruin is.
It's a little bear, man.
Okay, so it's like a Smokey the Bear? Well, you were talking about Smokey.
If you guys sidetrack me, I'm going to kill. Do you understand?
I swear to God, all I want to know if Smokey the Bear was a Bruin.
You see how he's smiling? There's a half smile there.
No!
Why do you have your fist cocked?
I want you to answer him, and if I see him smile, he's going to get it right there in the eyeball. You see this ring?
No. Now watch it. I don't know, Bud. The answer is I don't know if Smokey the Bear was a Bruin, okay? You're just going to have to live with that information. You're just going to have to live with that. We're coming up on a break, and you can go, and you can look it up, and it's just going to be a beautiful thing. How about that?
Well, all right.
World-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com, 855-500-7445. We'll be right back. Visit us online at philhenryshow.com. Christmas around the corner. Get a gift subscription to the Phil Fan and your family.
You were the sunshine. The stone and the valley people swore they'd have it for their very own.
And this is the music from Billy Jack.
What are you doing?
What?
This isn't the original. This is that garbage. Get it? No, Phil. It's the garbage.
What do you mean the garbage?
That's not the original recording.
Oh, okay. Is it the thing they re-recorded?
Yeah. Oh, jeez.
Oh, this is a Broadway show? Is that it?
Yes, it's a Broadway show for the one. Just, you've got to find the group Coven. They're the ones that did it.
All right. So we're joined here by Margaret Gray, and of course General Shaw is back from the shipbuilding practice that is predating or is coming ahead of tomorrow's shipbuilding instruction, the ship in a bottle instruction you're giving to some elderly ladies in Newport Beach, right?
That is correct. We're going down. It's some old lady. I shouldn't say old lady. It's a group of elderly women that get together and they want to do something. They're interested in building these ships and they've got a fair amount of resource. So these are women who are well off. Their husbands are no longer with them. I can see Bud Dickman looking, one of these days, young man.
No, I didn't do anything.
Bud, quit it. Just quit it. You're not funny. You're not making anybody laugh, okay? Just you're acting like an idiot.
One of these days, Bud, you'll learn to have respect and that some people just want to make friends. It's got nothing to do with sex or the sexual relations between myself and an old lady down in Newport Beach. I'm married. Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
And I'm not going to go to Newport Beach and get into that kind of a situation. I'm teaching her or any of the elderly women down there how to take a bottle and to put a ship in it, to build the ship in the bottle, and then put the, well.
How do you do that?
I'd rather not tell you.
Well, do you know?
Yes, I think I. What an insulting question.
Well, you sounded a little confused, that's all.
No, I know. You build the ship, and you put the bottle. You actually, what you do is you should build the bottle, but they won't let you do that.
So they won't let you do that. All right.
Yes, they won't let me do that, Bill. And so.
Okay, so in any event, we were talking here about One Tin Soldier, the film. Not One Tin Soldier, the movie, the Billy Jack movies.
Now, I got a guy on the phone here from L.A. His name is Kip Cummings, and a former. He did a. What did you do, sir? He did a marketing for movies. He didn't do a Billy Jack movie, but he did do the marketing on a movie.
Okay, Gip, how are you, sir?
Hi.
How are you, sir?
Oh, hi. Is this Bill?
Yeah.
Oh, hi, Bill. Gip coming. And I was telling the man who answered the phone that I was in the press relations business, the marketing business, back when the Billy Jack movies were out and Tom was doing all those movies.
So did you know him?
No, I didn't know him, but I knew of the films, and we were all involved in quite an industry back in those days. But I was interested in the methods that Mr. Laughlin used, and they were quite good and quite effective.
And so you were, I guess, marketing competing films?
Well, yes, I was involved in the advertising and marketing in the different to the different demographics of the different films, you see. And when Tom Laughlin came out with the Billy Jack movies and began to do this revolutionary marketing that you were just discussing, sort of left a lot of us flat-footed. And we'd have lunches and talk about this crazy man that was, he was a crazy man. And the things he was doing was just.
Why'd you say crazy?
Well, he was doing everything. He was making all of us look bad, because I was earning at that time six figures, and truth be told, I wasn't getting any movies made. I wasn't getting any. None of the movies I was promoting were making any money. So I was. I felt like I was stealing my money, and maybe I was, but I was making six figures, and I was. Having lunch and drinks, ending every day with cocktails. And now along comes this guy, and I was sitting and I was having lunch with two other friends of mine that did this kind of work. Long story short, I found out the next day both of those men had gone home and basically hung themselves from the...
Oh, my God.
Jeez.
Yeah, from the second floor balcony of their estates in Brentwood, over their pools, and that was the statement they were making when the police found them. They were swinging over swimming pools, and
I'm so very sorry, sir.
Well, I appreciate that. To be honest with you, I wasn't, because that was two less individuals to muck things up. But that was already an industry that was in an absolute mess. And I didn't need to keep listening to them telling me what I was doing wrong, you see.
Well, all right. I mean, that's a kind of a cold-hearted way of...
Were these men friends of yours?
Oh, they were acquaintances of mine, but I wouldn't call them friends. I was sad to hear that they felt it necessary to clear out, you know, and leave the field, leave some open field running for me, but it was going to have to be that way because all these guys were impediments to me.
And they went home and killed themselves.
Yeah, they went home and hung themselves from the decks off of the master bedrooms, the second floor decks off the master bedrooms of their homes, which just happened in both cases to go out over swimming pools. So as I say, they were, and there was a pretty good breeze that weekend in Los Angeles. So when the police did find them, the bodies were swaying in the breeze. And I think this was all calculated by them to say, we're twisting in the breeze, not you.
I've heard some stories. That is...
That is absolutely sad. I'm so sorry.
Again, I'm not. I am, but I'm...
But, I mean, these two guys hung themselves.
Well, all right, but we can move past that now, and I'm still here, and I was able to carve a living out for myself, even though it wasn't much of a living, because Tom Laughlin, he came along with his big shot new way of doing things and made everybody look like an ass, you know. And so these poor chaps, in a lot of ways, were just the victims of what's that?
I'm sorry. We got to take a break, okay?
That scared the hell out of me.
World famous Phil Hendry Show. This guy's a what?
Dead marketing in Hollywood on a movie.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's got Tom Laughlin, and we'll be back. Phil Hendry Show.